1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, and Leviticus 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, and it reads, "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Going over to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28, Leviticus 19, verse 28. Tonight, we're dealing with the subject of tattoos and body piercings. I've referenced several sources here. One such is "Should a Christian Get a Tattoo?" by Paul Chappell. There's another one by David Cloud, just a kind of a blog post. And referencing these for the scriptures and thoughts and going from there in the research on this. It is definitely not comprehensive, but if you look here in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28, "Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." And I will explain this. Some people would try to explain it away, saying this is for the Old Testament law. But there are some principles about this passage of Scripture. The question ultimately with respect to tattoos is, to whom do you belong? Do you rely on yourself, or do you submit to another for your life and daily decisions? The question is, who directs your life? Do you seek to live distinctly as a Christian in your appearance and in your conduct? Here's the truth. The world ought to be able to look at us and know us by our appearance and our conduct, that I am separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is, does my appearance, speech, and actions exhibit one who is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Should you live for Christ and others rather than yourself? Now, you can live for yourself and personal gain, or you can live for God and serving others. The Bible gives us the attitude with respect to tattoos, body piercings, mutilations, and other such practices that people perpetrate against their bodies. Here's the principle tonight. Your body belongs to Christ. Do not unnecessarily mark it up. Keep it pure for Christ. I'll explain that further. Let's go to the Lord and ask for His blessing, and then we will look at these truths tonight. Father, I thank You for this evening. Father, I thank You for the pure Word of God. And Father, we understand that sometimes in our youthfulness we make some foolish decisions, and Father, You forgive those. But moving forward, Lord, is an opportunity and a desire to keep our bodies pure for Thee. Father, that we would be wholeheartedly set upon Thee. Father, I pray that our heart and life and mind would be such that You would be exalted and lifted up. Lord, as I preach Your word, I need Your help. I need Your strength and energy. Father, I need Your thoughts. May all that's said and done be truly pleasing in Thy sight. Thank You for Your grace. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. The question really of tattoos is a principle of ownership. As we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 about your body being a temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, would you like to look with me here? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 3 through 5. I know I'm kind of picking some different topics from the world, but these are things that young people and even older people are sometimes tempted with. Not necessarily you, but others may be tempted with it, and to have a biblical perspective on it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you," look with me, verse 4, "should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." My body ought to be possessed in sanctification. My body ought to be wholeheartedly, that word sanctification, a set apart unto God. I am to be distinctly God's. Unto honor, right? Possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. So there is a distinction even in my own body. Now, there's obviously, we understand it with respect to morality, but there's also what I do to my own body. The real challenge for the believer is being owned. I don't own my body. it is purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am tempted to want to control my body, my choices, and ultimately my life. So to whom you belong is a vital part of whether or not getting a tattoo is appropriate. Whether it is appropriate for your body, I've entitled the sermon Tattoos, Pagan or Sacred. But a Christian's body from the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and other passages of Scripture, very distinctly declares your body has been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ, then you ought to get what God's thoughts are on it. One lady, when questioned about getting a tattoo, one pastor, she said, "It's my 40th birthday next month, and I'm getting my first tattoo to mark the occasion, a fairy. Not some Tinkerbell, but a proper Gothic fairy. It's my body, always has been, and if my parents and in-laws don't like it, then so what?" That lady's mentality is that she is the owner of her own body. We are a generation of people that are lovers of self. And before we decide on getting a tattoo, I need to realize and I have to put into my mind, to whom do I belong? Now, this one pastor, while he was young, he was a young man and tattooed his arm before going off to Vietnam, obviously there in the States. He later made some remarks on this subject. He said, "Had someone showed me Leviticus 19:28 about not making any cuts or markings on our body," he says, "as a teenager, it would have made a difference." He says, "I look back on that decision of a tattoo with regret. While I do not have anything worldly or profane on my body, the connotation is worldly and has affected my ability as a servant of Christ." As he goes out, he says, "To this day, I constantly wear long sleeves to cover the tattoo." Leviticus 19:28, if you look at that again, "Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." For first of all, the Old Testament plainly forbids tattooing. But the principle and the idea behind it is, Israel, don't tattoo or mark your body because that is what the pagans do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you find yourself there, look with me here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. "What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. The purity of your body shows who owns this body. They shall not make, Leviticus 21:5 says, "They shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh." Now we understand, shave off the corner of the beard, and there's very Levitical laws there, but again, the making cuttings in their flesh is a understanding there of a distinction from the pagans, the heathen around them. In some cases, in the Old Testament, you know, there's things in the Old Testament that may not necessarily be for us today. For instance, Romans chapter 14, verses 2 through 4, talks about eating. Romans 14, 2, "For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him." We understand, you know, obviously the Israelites and the Jewish people, they had some very strict dietary laws. They weren't to eat pigs and other such animals. But that does not apply to you and I today. We're not under that law. We're not under those things. But we are under the principle of separation and holiness unto God. There's even in 1 Timothy chapter 4 about abstaining from meat. Some that would say, if you cannot touch these meats, you touch these meats and you're impure. But as it talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it talks about latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Much like you would have within the Catholic Church during the Lent season, where they don't have meat except for on Fridays, they have their fish fries. You know, of abstaining from meats. But it says here, "which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." You know what God says? The meat's good for you. I like meat. I like lots of meat. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, just a little tangent there on that, but the fact is that we are not under the Jewish dietary laws anymore. But for a Christian to get a tattoo would be saying, you know, it would be in contradiction with Leviticus 19:28 and Leviticus 21:5. But you said, okay, well, we're still not under the Jewish law, Romans 14:8. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord. So you have to get to the principle. The fundamental, underlying, foundational principle is, are you, is your body the Lord's? Question, is your body the Lord's? 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So I am the temple of God. You are the temple of God as a believer. You as a believer are a saint. Now the question is, do you believe that God would want to mark up his temple? We know from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we're all going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to have to give an account of how I've lived my life. We look at his life. Would you, when you stand before the Lord someday, will you look at his loving eyes and say, Lord, I've kept my body pure for you, you know, as much as I can, pure from all evil influences. Now we understand sometimes before we're saved or when we're younger, we've made foolish decisions. And I'm not speaking against that, but I'm talking about from here on out, right, going forward. Are we going to look at our Savior's eyes and say, Father, it was my life. I cut and marked up your temple. You see, God created us with a purpose. I don't need to graffiti or mark up what God has designed and created. If God wanted me to have a mark, he would have given me a birthmark or something else. Now, the history of tattoos, very briefly, and I'll get to it here in a little bit, but briefly, just in, before I get to it a little bit, in barbaric nation, tattoos are affiliated with witchcraft and paganism. We don't belong to paganism, but to the Lord. Sometimes a young person may say, you know, I'm going to get my tattoo, as that 40-year-old lady said. But there's a self-assertiveness, there's kind of an autonomy, there's a rebellion. I'm going to get a tattoo because mom and dad don't want me to get it. Is that not the same mentality that Esau had when his parents said, you know, they didn't want Esau to marry a pagan woman, and he did to spite his parents. And godly parents would never want their child to get a tattoo. Exodus 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Additionally, should a person be unmarried, when they come to the marriage altar and they get married, they bring whatever they have on them with them. How would you like to, you know, as a young person, maybe having a tattoo of a girlfriend that you once had, but you no longer have it, but now it's permanently on your body? You're like, uh-oh. Oops, that was a foolish decision. We are owned by God, and the principle of separation, look with me, about this idea of principle of separation. I will bring this into the historical account of this in brief. And obviously, this is not an exhaustive study on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. If I was to take an inventory of my life, or if you were to take an inventory of your life, your speech, your actions, would it proudly and loudly declare that I am God's? The idea of tattoos is of a mentality of conforming to the worldly philosophies. Are you spending more time with people? Obviously, the influences of tattoos, you're around some, you're like, hey, that looks really cool. And I have to say, it's spectacular art. I don't like them. just from a personal perspective, outside of the biblical reasons. I don't like them. I think over time they're going to stretch and they're going to sag and everything else. But irrespective of that, I mean, the art is pretty impressive. But if I'm around that a long time and that mentality, it's going to draw me in. Is there something wholesome and distinctive in your life about the presence of Christ that sets you apart from others? The question we're going to ask is not whether you're going to allow someone to poke you and inject ink into your body, but rather what philosophy and what guiding principle is in your life that you're following. Now, we are not to be conformed to the world's philosophy. Can we understand that? Now, we've seen over the last few decades a rise in a desire for tattoos. But we need to ask, what are the origins of these tattoos? And it's helpful to know where these origins came from. Do the tattoos have a worldly context or and philosophy, or are they part of God's practices? In answer to these questions, one Christian author writes, he says, there was a time when markings on the skin were only made by the primitive and heathen tribes or by sailors who had traveled to their countries and brought these customs back with them. Body piercings were traditionally done only by primitive tribes who didn't know the God of the Bible. However, it is indeed a sign of the times that over the last few decades, body piercings and tattoos, which are reminiscent of the unregenerate pagan nations, have become very popular in Christian countries, end quotes. Here's a little background. I did some study on Wikipedia, and I, you know, was looking at the sources and where they drew these things from. Now, obviously, we understand Wikipedia is not a Christian entity. Far from it. And this is just dealing particularly with a nation. Tattoos, it says, are acquired gradually over the years. And this is over, I think, in the Philippines, in that area. But and patterns can take months to complete and heal. The tattooing process were sacred events that involved rituals to ancestral spirits and the heeding of omens. For example, if the artist or the recipient sneezes before a tattooing, it was seen as a sign of disapproval by the spirits, and the session was called off or rescheduled. Artists were usually paid with livestock, heirloom beads, or precious metals. They were also housed and fed by the family of the recipient during the process. A celebration was usually held after a completed tattoo. Listen to this. This is amazing. Tattooing traditions were lost as Filipinos were converted to Christianity during the Spanish colonial era. Tattooing were also lost in some groups like the Tagalog and the Moro people shortly before the colonial period due to their then recent conversion to Islam. It survived until around the 19th to the mid-20th centuries in more remote areas of the Philippines, but also fell out of practice due to modernization and Western influence. Today, it is a highly endangered tradition, only survives among some members of the Igorot people of the Luzon Highlands. Some Lumad people of the Mindanao Highlands and the Suladon people of the Panay Islands. But going on from here, another one says tattoos date back many thousands of years. In fact, we have firm evidence that tattooing is an ancient art form after discoveries of tattoos on mummified skin were found. The oldest evidence of human tattoos is believed to be between 3370 and 3100 BC. But if you research the history of tattoos, you will find them in barbaric nations, criminals, heathen, and godless people who turn to the practice of marking their bodies for idol worshiping, witchcraft, and many other regions. The origin of tattoos are godless. So God forbade the Israelites from cutting up and marking their bodies because of its association and identification with paganism. How about 1 Thessalonians 5:22? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How about Romans chapter 12, talking about our body, a living sacrifice unto God? Or how about 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 through 22, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils? Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? The principle is very clear. Do not love the world and its philosophies. 1 John chapter 2, love not the world. And it goes on. The philosophies of the world are anti-God and anti-Bible. God has called you and me to present our bodies as a sacrifice. Think about this. If you want to think about it from a practical standpoint, in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, when the Passover happened, they were to give an unblemished lamb for a sacrifice. Now, obviously, we understand that unblemished lamb was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ that was coming, but unblemished, right? You were not to mark up that lamb. You know what? I want to bring my life as a sacrifice before God. Why would I blemish up my body? Now, obviously, I'm not the sacrificial lamb, and we know that the lamb is a picture of the Messiah that will come. We understand that. But the fact is, I don't, you know, God wanted an unblemished sacrifice. He wanted a pure sacrifice. I'm pure by the blood of Jesus Christ, but why in the world would I put blemishes on my body beyond what God's already allowed me? Now we understand car accidents and other things, scars on our body are, you know, from accidents that happen. Those we can't, those are unnecessary, you know, those are things that we can't help. I mean, they're there. It is what it is. But it talks about in Scripture, and be not conformed to this world. Why would I want to put markings on my body that would give me a conformity to the world's philosophies and ideas? We are not to follow or allow fads, fashions, behaviors, and philosophies to conform us. The devil seeks to desensitize us to sin and the world's ways. It's exactly what he did with Abraham's nephew Lot and the family. Little by little, he desensitized them until they were fully integrated in with that society. Some people can say, well, this isn't as bad as, you know, everything else going on. This is normal. It'll be okay. But peer pressure, if we think about this, can tempt a teen to smoke, to drink, marijuana, to all sorts of evils, tattoos. People don't typically sin by themselves. Oftentimes, we'll see a tattoo. Hey, I'll go get a tattoo if you go get a tattoo. Or sometimes someone may be drunk. Hey, let's go get a tattoo. And they wake up and they're like, oh no, I got a tattoo. What happened to me? Right? Proverbs 1:10 tells us, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. We are not to accept sin. I'm not to accept a worldly philosophy, accept a tradition of things that have pagan, satanic, really, if it, you know, the pagan ritual roots are satanic. Look with me at 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah is on the mountain. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 26, and this is Elijah's up there with against the prophets of Baal, 450 of them. And Elijah's mocking them. And in verse 28, I'll just read this for the length of time. But in 1 Kings 18, verse 28, and they cried, here's the 450 prophets of Baal. You know, Elijah's mocking them. Oh, cry to your God. Maybe he'll answer you. And he's just mocking them, knowing that Baal is not as powerful as a God. Is not powerful. He's not a God. But so he mocks them. Verse 28. And they, the prophets of Baal, cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. They're cutting themselves after their manner. See, cut themselves after their manner. It was a ritualistic practice to cut their bodies for their pagan gods and idols. And a lot of people these days are cutting their bodies and marking their bodies because it is a part of culture. And sometimes people will do it for a girlfriend. They'll mimic an athlete, a Hollywood actor, actress, display an art style, show worship to an idol, or mark an event in life. For instance, someone died, and so I want to honor that person, so I put their name on my body. But how do any of these reasons have to deal with keeping my body pure and under the ownership of God. Well, you could say, what's so wrong of putting a tattoo on my body if I had someone I loved who recently died? I'm remembering them on my body. Why can't you have a picture on the mantle? Why can't you have one of their journals or a video of them? And nowadays, obviously with cell phones and things, we have so many videos and pictures of people. Why can't I look at those pictures? Why do I have to mark my body for it? What purpose does it have? The question is, would I have acted as Elijah did in opposition to so many 450 prophets of Baal cutting themselves, partaking in a ritual of the world? The principle of all of this is of selfless living. It's not about me. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Who gets the glory when you get a tattoo? Wow, what a cool tattoo. Who did it? Wow, man, that's a really cool, that looks really good on you. Who gets the glory? The honor goes to myself or the artist. It doesn't go to God. Oh, well, I put a big old cross on my chest. First of all, how often do people see it? But second of all, wow, you got a cross on your chest. That's really cool. And you're so buff. God's not calling us to elevate ourselves. In James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God calls me to humble myself. I'm not to alter my body to stand out, to be different. Same thing, oftentimes people like to color their hair and other things to draw attention to themselves. The key is not to change ourselves, the key is to humble myself. The practice of tattoos and its incipient philosophy is about me. And that is the philosophy of the day of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. There's a lot of publications, magazines, dedicated to the glamorization. Be a better you. You have GQ and all sorts of magazines that are flaunting people's bodies and how to be a better you, a thinner you, how to have a better, you know, mindset for this year, how to exceed, you know, achieve in 2022. The idea of tattoos is the same as that of materialism, and that is you are incomplete unless you have this diamond ring, this ATV, this boat, or even this tattoo. But how about I take what Christ says in Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. How about I don't need anything else to complete me? I don't need the approval or acceptance of some crowd. Jesus completes me. And all glory belongs to God, and this can only happen through humility. I want to ask you, will you glorify God through your body? The opinions of others must not guide our convictions. But I ought to be mindful of my testimony, because you and I represent Jesus Christ, and we ought to defer all attention to him. Why? I want to color my hair. I want to put these big gauges in. I want to put these spikes through my ears. I want to put these things through my nose. I want to do a tongue ring. I want to do, you know, all sorts of different ways that people do it, because I want to draw attention to myself. Friend, I don't want to, in reality, as the scriptures say, I ought not to try to bring any attention to myself. I'm already purchased by the King of Kings. Any attention and glory that comes and any good that I do is because of him. According to an article by a Christian writer, Christian body piercing, in the most basic, honest definition, is the vein cutting or self-mutilation of the human body for the express purpose of adulation and admiration. You want others to see this thing you've done to yourself that you may glory in it. Harsh evaluation, yes. But what other reason is there for these actions except the lust of the eyes? Some people like to use the excuse of tattoos as opening doors. That allows me to witness better. One professed Christian rationalized it to this particular pastor, saying, the tattoos I have provoke conversations and questions about Christianity. He goes on to say, the pastor, I think that it would, but for all the wrong reasons. His problem was that he concluded it was good for him to have a tattoo. But using this logic, I could say that because a person heard of Christ in a lewd nightclub, that means God uses nightclubs to provoke people to come to Christ. So they're a good place to witness. Again, self-justification, self-serving, the ends never justifies the means. I don't use the world's means and methods to win the world. Same idea between the worldly rock rhythms and putting Christian-esque words upon foul music and calling it good. You can't take something which is inherently filthy, put a sprinkling of spirituality and make it good. You just can't do it. In these churches that are promoting heavy rock music and their worship, and many times the leaders flaunt their tattoos, 95% of their youth are leaving after high school. Why? Because they understand that the church and the world are not much different, so why in the world go to church in the first place? And the last principle is a principle of a Christian's calling. I was called to be a Christ follower, and so are you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. In Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. I'm an ambassador. I'm a new creature. The aspect and the idea of tattoos, what is the origins of it? The origins are pagan. Now, why would I want to have identification with anything other than he who died and bled and rose again for my eternal salvation? Why would I want any identification with that which is opposite of him? Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. First Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I want to ask you, do tattoos speak of holiness and purity? Do they speak of a pure body dedicated to the Lord? You and I have been called as Christians to be selfless. Romans 8, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I want to ask you, who are you led by? Who are you led by? Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God's called us to purity. Purity in what I look at, purity in what I think, purity in what I speak, and purity what I put on my body. But that would also, you know, obviously, in regards to what I wear in clothing, right? I ought not to be wearing anything like alcohol or marijuana or indecent innuendos on my body. I don't care how funny it is. And there's even in the States a statement, let's go, and then there's the town of Brandon, right? They say that phrase. But the connotation of that very phrase is cursing. Why would I want to put that on my body? I may not like a particular politician, but doesn't mean I'm going to put anything with a connotation of vulgarity on my body. Proverbs 3:1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. So the truth of tattoos is not whether you can twist scriptures to fit your narrative. Pastor, you're old-fashioned. Pastor, there's nothing in the Bible that says I can't have a tattoo. There's nothing specifically that says you can't. It doesn't say, thou shalt not have a tattoo. Does it say that there? No. But does it talk about the body markings? Yes. Does it talk about the piercings? Yes. Does it talk about abstaining from appearance of evil? Yes. So principled, wise, and in the purity of my heart, if I want to do what I want to do with my body, and I want to make Scripture work for me, well, then you go for it, because God is obviously not leading your life. You can approach the Scriptures with a bias and make it say what you want if you don't want God to lead you. But a yielded heart will approach the Scriptures with an open, humble, sensitive heart and say, God, is it right? Draw it to a close. Do you believe that God is the owner of your body? Do you believe that God bought you with a price and that you're now His temple? If you answer in the affirmative to these questions, then you believe in the principle of ownership. And you agree that placing a tattoo on your body is God's decision to make. Now, I understand, like there in the concentration camps of World War II, they would put tattoos on their body. That was not the people's decisions to do that. But I want to ask you tonight, are you willing to reject anything that originates from a worldly, anti-God philosophy, even if it means tattoos? Are you willing to put God's decisions above your own desires? There is nothing that will truly satisfy and fulfill you as the Lord Jesus Christ. Fads come and fads go, but Christ lasts forever. Will you follow Him today? And if you've tattooed your body, there's still hope. I'm not saying, oh, wow, you're totally defiled and God can't. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. We all, sometimes when we're young, we do some things, you're like, ah, that wasn't too smart. I wish I hadn't done that. But you know what? A lot of things that we can do, but God can take us where we're at. I repent, I learn, and I grow, and I can say, you know what? Yeah, this was what I used to be, and then I found Jesus. I can let God mightily use you. But it ought to be in our lives, what is the principle and what is the guiding aspect of ownership in my life? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, and then I'll close. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Tonight, provided some principles on this idea, dealt with also the truths of body piercings there from the Old Testament, the abstaining from evil, the history and the origin of tattoos and simplicity. You know what? If you don't want to be convinced, I can't convince you. But the fact is, who are you going to allow to rule and own your body? That's the question. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll have a quiet time without any music this evening. I just want to challenge you on that principle. Who owns your body? Who runs your body? Who guides you? Who guides what you do? Where you go? What you say? Who is it that guides you? Just a simple question. When you're done praying, feel free to look back up. I'll know you're done, and then I will conclude in prayer. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how much religion or how much you say you believe in God, it doesn't matter. God doesn't own you. You've never been purchased. How about tonight? You repent of your sins, ask God to forgive you and be your Savior. And in simple faith, you ask Him, you accept Him as your Savior, and you're born again. Christian, who owns you? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for this evening. I thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, we know that, Lord, sometimes in our life we have a culture that is bent on doing what we want, when we want, and not letting anyone guide us or direct us, not letting You guide us and direct us. And Father, there are many people. Lord, this is not a prejudice against any person. But Father, it's just some principles of what You think. If we haven't tattooed our body, we shouldn't. If we have, Lord, we just ask You to forgive us. And Lord, we go on serving you. Not a life-altering thing, but Father, it's just in our mindset, Father, that we go forward and say, God, I'll let you lead me and guide me. God, I want to be pure and holy for thee. Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for your grace. Guide us this evening. May we go out as ambassadors for the greatest King of Kings. Lord, help us in Jesus' precious name, I pray.